Trump has said he's going to impose a 25% tariff on steel and a 10% tariff on aluminium. Now, the biggest exporter of steel to the United States is actually not China, which only has a very small part of the U.S. market, only 2% of the U.S. market. It's Canada, in fact, so one of the United States' closest allies. What's interesting about this as well is that Canada actually buys an awful lot of U.S. steel, in fact, more U.S. steel than the United States buys from Canada, different grades of steel, you understand. So, in fact, Canada could hurt the United States more if it decides to engage in reciprocal tariffs.
Does the president have the unilateral power to impose these tariffs?
He does, because he's employing what's called Section 232 of one of the U.S. Trade Protection Acts. And what that means is that the United States does not actually have to obey WTO laws, that's World Trade Organization laws, and he doesn't actually have to consult Congress. It's regarded as a temporary measure, so it's not something he can do long term, but it's nevertheless something he can put into place. What's interesting about all this is it's not really aimed at China, any of this. On the one hand, the Trump administration is deeply mired in the sort of backroom negotiations over NAFTA, that's the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was put in place by Bill Clinton in 1994. And he wants to renegotiate with Mexico and Canada, who are the only other members of this regional grouping, which has been a very successful free trade organization for well over 20 years now. But the actual policy of putting in tariffs appears to have backfired, because now the Europeans, of course, are very alarmed at not just these aluminium and steel tariffs, but also other tariffs that Trump might unilaterally decide to deploy, and also even that the Trump administration has hinted that they're thinking of withdrawing from the World Trade Organization, which would be a remarkably radical move for any administration to undertake, given that the Americans formed the WTO in 1994-95.
Wow. Would they have the power to do that, the administration?
Absolutely.
They don't have to get Congress.
No, they would have to have Congress approve any, for example, a new member, like when China came in 2001. But the president certainly has the executive authority to withdraw from any treaty, just as Trump withdrew from the Paris Climate Treaty.
Right, did you say this is actually, Trump's move is actually, it is a negotiating tactic in the NAFTA stuff. It's not to do with China.
That's right, at least at this stage.
Okay,
Of course, the Japanese are involved in this too, because the Japanese are major steel producers and exporters to the United States as well. But the biggest at the moment are countries like Canada, Mexico, and Brazil in terms of steel, as well as the European Union. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, Trump has widened this debate to say, well, we've been the victims of unfair trade for many decades, so we're thinking about slapping tariffs on European automotive export to the United States. And Trump doesn't realize, of course, that the German makers like Daimler-Benz and BMW and Volkswagen all have extensive manufacturing facilities in the U.S., building cars, employing U.S. workers in Republican states, selling them to Americans.
Why does his argument have any currency that America's been ripped off, this is a reasonable thing to do? Is there any legitimacy in that?
Well, Trump has made a lot about the fact that in his tweets about America being, you know, in deficit, you know, running a trade deficit of $800 billion. Now that's true if you only talk about traded goods, merchandise trade. If you look at America's goods and services deficit, it's about $500 billion, which is still significant but lower. But this also doesn't, you know, it's a nonsensical figure, because U.S. firms, of course, import massive productive inputs, for whether they're building cars or printers or whatever it is they happen to be making. That's the way that trade works, that some states carry deficits. But it's not a deficit when, you know, your corporation might be importing from another subsidiary of your corporation in Europe or in Korea or in Japan.
There's sort of talk of a trade war. What does a trade war mean? What does that look like? And is it likely to come from these actions?
Look, there's a 50-50 chance it could. But what has generally happened in the case of Trump is that cooler heads have prevailed, ultimately. Trump has threatened a lot, but has not gone through with an awful lot of things, whether it's, you know, completely demolishing Obamacare or even, he's even, you know, he withdrew from the TPP almost immediately after his inauguration, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
And now he said, well, if we can get a better deal, then we might re-enter the TPP. So it's all about the art of the deal as far as Trump is concerned. If he can make it look like that the United States gets a better financial outcome from a given treaty or anything else, then he'll do it. Mm. But in this respect, he's playing to the electorate. It doesn't really have to make mathematical sense, but it has to make public relations sense.
Mm. Are there any implications for Australia?
Yeah, there are, because it's clear overnight that the US Trade Representative's Office and the US Department of Commerce said that Australia is included at the moment on the aluminium and steel tariff list. So it means that Australian steelmakers, BlueScope, who also manufactures in the United States, by the way, as well as, you know, the Port Kembla Steelworks, mm-hmm. are likely to be affected in the short term, at least, by the steel tariff. So it means jobs, and it means cuts to Australian exports. And it also raises into question, you know, how much a free trade agreement with the United States, which has been in place since 2004, is really worth. Don't get me wrong, I'm a supporter of free trade, but what Trump has done, or what his administration has done, is he's circumvented it by using the national security clause, which essentially gives him carte blanche to do virtually anything.